Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
How are you going this morning, Mitch?
Good. Had a couple of ditzy moments, dear.
You did.
I did, yeah.
kicking
this one off.
But I got excited, aren't we?
We are. Just before we head down that road, I got fucking lost today. I got lost in the bush. On my mountain bike.
On your ride this morning.
I did, and I don't think I've been the same since. I'm
obviously not, because you're
afraid,
a bit
I was afraid I was going to get attacked by a fucking drop bear.
A drop bear, seriously, yeah, in Darlington? Yeah. Do they exist in Darlington?
Yes,
it's more
they
kangaroo.
They exist everywhere.
Okay, so we're really excited to have you guys along. So this is Alan and Michelle Mayberg. And this is the first time, guys, that
it's
we've
Marbles.
Done.
It's Marbles. Your surname is Marbles.
No, you just say Maybera, maybe Mabels, Maybelline, Marbles. Like anything that's not Maybelline. Their actual surname. This is the first time we've had. Michelle's like, we love you, Mitch, but no.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've had like double guests, like people in Zoom, different locations. It's part of the reason we've actually got you guys on today.
Yeah.
Because one of you, Michelle, you're in South Africa. Where are you exactly?
In a beautiful place called Hermanus, which is about an hour and a half's drive from Cape Town.
Oh, cool.
Along
right.
And then, Alan, you're down south WA at the moment. Where are you exactly?
Down south in Dunsborough at the moment.
In Dunsborough. Yes. Right. So we're going to get to what happened, that you both are separate, you know, your husband and wife. Michelle and the kids are in South Africa and Alan's here. But before we do, you know that we start every podcast with, you know, our favourite song or a song that's on our mind.
Do you know what I was thinking the song earlier? My Free Nelson Mandela. Do you remember that one years ago?
Oh, dear. It's going to be one of those days, guys, where we're going to be just like,
Free Nelson Mandela.
Anyway. So, Michelle, have you got a favourite song or something that you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's not that one, Mitchie. Yeah. I would say I love Hallelujah.
Oh,
it's been a really
the original. Like, yeah. Which version?
There's a group called Pentatonix.
They're an a cappella group, and they do an amazing rendition of that song.
What are they called?
Pentatonix.
It sounds like a type of headache.
No.
Yeah.
I have a fucking pentatonic headache.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to just do a little walk and move into a different area where I've got better
reception.
Signal, so,
well, yeah. And so, yeah, I like that version. Alan, what's your song at the moment?
I actually I like to bat for the underdogs. And funny enough, I'm not one for remixes, but The Sound of Silence by Disturbed is just phenomenal.
That's a great version.
It is.
Yes.
Just, and yeah. the video is just nuts. So from an artist's point of view, it's just, you've got to watch it.
Oh,
just
really?
Look it up. It's absolutely amazing. It's so powerful.
Because Paul Simon spent a lot of time in South Africa. Remember, he did that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played with, I think they were with Ladysmith Black Mambazo. They did a lot of recording with them, yeah.
Mm.
Hello, darkness, yeah. My old friend.
When we were, I know you guys have travelled with us, we'll get to that in a minute, but when we were in India earlier this year, there were two young kids, Lola, who you know, obviously you've met, and one of the other girls that was on the trip, and they would sit there and they'd go, "We're going to sing a song for you. We're going to sing The Sound of Silence." And they would stand up going, and not sing anything. It was so cute. That's Lola's personality for you. So before we get into why you guys are separated, why you're in different parts of the world during this time, let's just go back to how we met. Who wants to tell the story about how we met? And maybe Michelle, you probably should start, because
Michelle,
you met us first, right?
It actually was a friend of mine, Sarah, who you guys know pretty well. I think she used to DJ at some of your events.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Sarah.
So she's down south, and I was sitting having a cup of coffee with her and Michelle Smirk, who's also done your program.
Yes.
And we were talking about how we'd just been to an awesome workshop and done Joe Dispenza's 2-day meditation workshop.
Right.
And She said to me, oh, if you love, sorry, got the cat climbing all over me now. She said, if you love Joe Dispenza, you need to go to Mastermind and Money with Mitch and Mills. And we were like, oh, okay, who they, what they. Anyway, long story short, yeah, we landed up, that's how I landed up there with Michelle Smirk and with Mitch's fabulous personality got us hooked. And next minute, Alan got told, hey, love, I've just spent a lot of money and I'm off to go and do this program. And he's like, oh, God, here she goes again. What are you doing now? And that was the start of our journey. Wow. And then got him roped in. So yeah, he's used to me going off and doing this course and that course and whatever. But I think this one is, hey, Al, being the most life-changing for sure.
Oh, very much so.
I remember you bringing Al along to Mastermind of Money and being like, okay, he's here because I'm always doing this stuff, but I actually got him here. And I remember Alan sitting there. I remember exactly where you were sitting on that first time we met you, and you were sitting there going, yeah, like, and I remember you, Michelle, were like really excited that he was there and always like just, wow, what's going on? What's he thinking? What's happening? So what was your experience, Alan, and when you first met us and what was that like?
Oh, my, I was just quite overwhelmed, really. I mean, I went there not expecting much, and for me it was just incredible just to hear what you were saying and just going, whoa, this stuff was all just sitting with me. And and I remember Rachel's podcast a few weeks ago, and she talked about that, how you hear something but you don't actually get it. And I tell you what, it's amazing how you hear all this stuff, and I've always loved anything to do with PD, but this just hit me like a brick. And you remember me getting up, and I just felt like I had to speak, and I was all choked up, and it was just amazing how I just wanted to immerse myself in it. So it was very powerful.
Yeah, I remember you were hanging off the edge of the seat. You absolutely loved it. You absolutely loved
it.
Yeah,
I did.
You're quite an emotional guy anyway, right? Because you're a creative, right?
Yeah.
Creatives are generally quite emotional.
I found it really difficult to do, but I just felt like I had to express myself. And I remember, you know, talking about my prejudices and being very judgmental and all that sort of thing. And I cannot believe the change in me now in the last 2 years since. And it's obviously we go through ups and downs the whole time, but as a whole, it's just, I'm just loving the journey.
So, I think that's what I was going to ask. So what do you think is the biggest impact that doing, I mean, any personal development creates impact, but in particular doing this, what do you think has been the biggest impact that it's had on your lives, you know, whether it's financial, whether it's family, you know, what? Talk a little bit about that for us.
I think for me it was, you know, kind of stuff that you'd think you'd sorted out and you were on top of it and you kind of buried, and it just, you know, issues related to my dad and kind of what I went through when I was younger. And it just, I think, put a different spin on it, because never before, you know, all the work that I'd done in the past, you kind of go in and you try and heal and forgive and do all of that. Whereas I think what you guys did that was so life-changing for me was you got me to see the blessing in what it is my dad gave me by, you know, him and mom getting divorced, by him being abusive to mom, me witnessing, you know, that moment when I was 3 years old. I never actually saw the blessing and the gratitude in that and what it gave me going forward, the strength and the independence and the ability to walk away from, you know, relationships and things that, you know, were damaging down the line. So that's where the difference was. I'd spent years, I'd done regressions and, you know, done counseling and all of that stuff. Whereas I think for me, you guys gave me the blessing and the gratitude. And for that, I'll ever, you know, forever be grateful in that moment.
Yeah,
Alan. So that was life changing. That was a big moment for me. Yeah.
I just found I was constantly looking for, and I actually thought about it early on what I was going to say about this. But I just found that I was constantly looking for peace, looking for a chilled out lifestyle. And it's just not, it's just so far from reality that I just didn't understand. I kept looking for something perfect in my life. And what this whole process has done for me, it's taught me to absolutely enhance every single moment of your life, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. It could be something really unpleasant, but deep down, I just revel in being where I am and what I'm doing, no matter what it is. Even, you know, if you're at work and I never look forward to finishing my day anymore, no matter what I'm doing. I immerse myself in the present and I just do whatever I can do now. And my quality of life has just gone through the roof as a result.
It's a funny thing how, you know, people spend so much of people. Well, I think the delusion was that PD work was about trying to fix things. And I think our objective with people is always to show people that there's nothing to fix. No, you're not here to fix anything. That would mean that what happened to you was incorrect. And what happened to you is actually not incorrect. What happened to you is absolutely what was meant to happen to you. And it didn't happen to anybody else. It happened to you because you are you and you're uniquely you and you have a unique set of gifts. But it's funny how much time and energy that people can put into trying to fix things because they think they're friggin' broken. You know, people go through their lives thinking, I'm broken. You're not broken, you know. And it's excuse me, it takes a bit of it takes a bit of nuts to be able to go, okay, I get that I'm surrounded by people that perceive they're broken and they're pretending that they're not and are trying to fit in, when in actual fact, I just want to turn it around. You know, I just want to see if it what it was so that I can actually get on with my life. And, you know, peace is in knowing that, the perfection is in the perception of imperfection. If we saw everything as perfect, but the pursuit of perfection is important because it makes us look. If we saw that everything was absolutely perfect, we would never move. There would be no reason to make a difference here because everything would be perfect. But the fact that we don't see everything as perfect allows us to want to make a difference here, allows us to want to leave this place a better place, you know, leave our mark, you know, on humanity in some way, you know, and every human being has that. But we can get so caught up in the detail, you know, wanting to see it one way, which is just nuts, you know.
I think the opposite is true as well, in the sense that Michelle was saying that, you know, she thought she'd sorted it all out as well. Like, there's a part of you that was like, oh, no, I thought I'd sorted it all out. So there's sometimes it's like this pursuit of something because we think that something's broken. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, it's like, no. Everything's sorted out. It's going to be okay because, you know, I've put that and compartmentalized it, and right. I'm going to consider that to be fixed. Do you know what I mean? So I think people live on mm-hmm. either side of that, don't you
totally,
think?
Totally, totally.
And I think the blessing and the beauty is when you find that midpoint and when you go, oh, I actually, it's not about the intellectual understanding of it. It's about the actual knowing that, yes, everything that happened was absolutely perfect. And there's no need for me to scramble around trying to fix things. There's no need for me to pretend that everything's all right. It's just everything in this moment is exactly as it's meant to be.
But the other thing is that I just find it creates a vacuum where, you know, now all of that stuff is kind of put to rest. It doesn't matter what you throw at a person. You know, we have this natural ability, once you get it, to see things as perfect. And so it creates this vacuum for us, you know, for that inner genius to wake up, that inner voice that, you know, to connect, you know, to go from being called to being living in it and actually doing what we 100%. Love and experiencing what is important to us, you know. And every waking moment becomes that, which is what I hear you're saying, Al. You know, you're waking up and that's every moment for you. And same with you, Michelle, you know.
Yeah. So, but that leads on actually to the fact that, like, you guys having to deal with what life has kind of thrown at you. I mean, I know you've had challenges in the past, and we've worked through a lot of stuff together in lots of different areas of your life, you know. But the fact that, you know, when life throws stuff at you, that you're able to just go, right, this is where what's meant to happen at the moment, and I'm just going to take this on board as best as I can. So do you want to talk to us about what's happened with you guys over the course of this year?
Wow, what a year it's been. I mean, you know, 2019, I wanted to put in a box and bury it. I mean, you guys know obviously about the whole fraud and all of that. So that was a learning curve. So we were coming to South Africa to reconnect with family, you know, to show them our roots. I was going to, you know, look at doing doTERRA, which I'm doing in South Africa because it's fairly new in the country, so a huge business opportunity. You know, we were going to focus on getting Alan's art into all the galleries here. So this great plan, and we were planning an awesome Africa trip, hey, Mills, with mom, who's in travel. So I was really excited about, you know, getting involved with the travel agents and planning Botswana and Okavango and all these amazing places for you guys. I was also, you know, mom does eventing and stuff as well. So I was looking at bringing out Dr. Espen and, you know, potentially you guys down the line. So these great crescendo plans. And then, yeah, the universe has a different idea. So a la COVID, I mean, who would have thought? So the kids came down end of January to start school. And I was running around, you know, getting the house ready for rent. And I left on my birthday, arrived on the 16th of March. And Alan was due to come mid-April because he had sculpting and stuff to finish. And literally arriving within a week, we went into lockdown. South African borders closed and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Wow.
And, you know, at that stage, it was kind of pretty full on because, you know, Alan was like, what the hell's going on? People are saying I need to leave and come now, but I can't because I've got work to finish. And, you know, it was pretty stressful because obviously he was in a flurry trying to get over. We didn't really know what was going on in South Africa because, you know, one day to the next, everything was different.
Right.
And then next minute before we wiped the sleep out of our eyes, everything locked down.
So are you guys, what's the position now? So
basically got stuck.
What's
Yes, so we've moved. We're in level one at the moment. So, you know, you're allowed out and about. Businesses are operating. Obviously, I think we're allowed into sort of crowds of 20 to 50. So churches and stuff have just opened. I think nightclubs, anything like that is still closed. We still have to wear masks when we go out in public. The kids, unfortunately, have to wear masks all day at school. So pretty full on for them because they sanitize. So wherever you go, you hand sanitize. I said if Corona doesn't kill us or COVID, whatever we want to call it, the sanitizers will. I mean, these poor kids, we're all going to land up with, you know, skin cancer down the line. I mean, the kids literally sanitize. I think Samantha worked out the other day about 20 times. So if teacher hands them something, they sanitize. If they go out, they sanitize. If they come back in and so forth. So it's pretty, full on
situation. So how do you communicate? So, how did you communicate with the kids about it? How did you handle that communication?
Yeah, look, it was one stage, you know, everybody was listening to the news. So we were on CNN and so forth and quite an intense situation in South Africa because there was a lot of fear because the numbers were rising pretty hectic. You know, and I think the kids were, you know, pretty kind of fearful at first watching all the news. So eventually at one stage I had to say to my mom, listen, I actually don't want them watching CNN and, you know, what's right. done, whatever, because it was just so intense about the number of deaths around the world. So we actually stopped them from listening to all of that and, just kind of explained to them. I think, you know, they were pretty smart and, you know, kids are pretty resilient and, you know, our kids are, we're very lucky that they're very independent little characters and go with the flow. Right. So they were all, you know, they handled it a lot easier than we did. They were like, oh, well, this is the situation. You know, we do what we have to do. Homeschooling was quite interesting, but intense. Joshua took strain, you know, he was missing his dad. He's an active little guy.
Yeah.
So he likes to fly fish and fish with his dad and cycle. So being in lockdown those first 2 months where you weren't allowed to leave home, that was the most intense for all of us.
Right.
Because, you know, we had the four walls in the garden and yes, thank goodness mom's got a small pool. He took strain. So right. Every 2 weeks, you know, I had to deal with his emotions, him being in tears, missing his dad. Mm-hmm. Samantha was all right. She was getting all the nurturing and love from, you know, all the female energy. So she was in her element and she loved living in this big house and she's up in the castle, as we put it, with my mom, with her own room and bathroom. So all the girly things and, you know, so she was fine. So, yeah, it was a roller coaster of emotions. The first 2 months were pretty intense, but we've all kind of settled into a groove. So, you know, they bounce back. Kids bounce back really quickly. So
Alan, it's been I know we've got a slight delay there, Michelle. So Alan, it's been since January then, since you've seen the kids, is that right?
Well, actually end of December, so I haven't seen my kids in 2020 at all. Yeah,
wow.
So It's if you think about it, and if you want to freak out about it, it's very plausible.
Yeah.
And it did happen for sure. I mean, when I realized I couldn't go over, I had like 3 days of just being an absolute wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the anxiety kicked into a new level, which just, fortunately I was working on a project.
Alan, just about that, you were commissioned to do certain artwork that you couldn't kind of leave before you'd completed, because you guys were just upping and moving and you weren't coming back. It's not like you were planning to come back anytime soon, so you had to finish the commissioned work. Isn't that correct?
Correct, yeah. So I was actually planning to come back regularly because I started getting busy as an artist, thanks to you guys. Thank you very much for keeping me busy, for teaching me how to be busy. So the plan was to come back, retain my studio and come back quarterly for 2 to 3 weeks just to fulfill whatever commissions I would have arranged for. So that was the plan. But this particular project was a really sizable project compared to what I'd been doing prior. And I built 3 sort of installations, functional installations for a new attraction in the region.
Right.
And I was about 2/3 of the way through when the lockdown happened. We're busy moving out of our house. We're renting the house. So Michelle had to obviously leave in a hurry for good reason. Because the kids were in South Africa, and we preempted the fact that the borders were going to close, so she had to go. So we were still had to vacate the house and get it ready for the tenants. I'm working 12 to 14 hour days on this project, so it just led to me not doing my usual self care sort of thing, and I just unraveled for a few days, and I just had to. And by then, I was actually lodging with some friends in Kawarama. And he had been through a really rough year last year, and he was a great help to me as well. Just one-on-one stuff, it was just incredible. And I just pulled myself together, and ever since then, I've just been really. And we talked a little bit earlier about life and about the fact that life isn't perfect, and being able to cope with difficult situations is far more important than looking for that perfection in life that I was seeking early in my life.
Very important point.
And that's what has done it for me, is the fact that I can now just handle so much more than before. And that's what this whole program, since 2018, meeting you, has been incredible for me. So I've just managed to learn how to deal with everything. And I just see it for what it is. It's, you know, I love the movie Madagascar, when the penguins are stealing the ship and everyone's freaking out on the beach, and the main penguin's going, "Just smile and wave, boys, just smile and wave." To me, it's the funniest thing because it's so true to life.
Yeah.
You just look at stuff, you know, you've got to deal with it. You have to engage, you have to do the right thing, but you don't have to freak out about everything. And that's what I'm learning. So you respond, you don't react.
Yeah, it's that stimulus response, you know. Excuse me.
Do you know what happens? We say to Mitch, because we had this thing a couple of weeks ago, that he makes as much noise as possible on these podcasts.
Yeah.
So we remind him at the beginning, and then all of a sudden he gets a coughing fit during the podcast.
No, because they make me nervous. Do you know what I mean? And there's like this little tickle monster appears. And then I'm not meant to go. I'm not meant to do that during a podcast. You know, I do that normally. It's right now, all the staff.
Are like, you making me cough now?
Somebody check Mitch's fucking pulse. I think he just died.
Oh, dear.
Mitch, you talked about other people on other podcasts doing crazy things like Joe Rogan, so you can do anything you want.
Oh, don't tell him that, because he literally
I've
will.
Said to him, are we going to have some fucking magic mushrooms on this podcast or not? Because I really want to do this on shrooms. I totally want to do it on shrooms.
We need some of those. It would be good to
There should be loads of them in South Africa. What are you talking about? There should be loads of them, Michelle, in South Africa.
Mitch, we're in lockdown. You can't get anything. I was thinking, I mean, I went up to Johannesburg to visit a good friend of mine, Chris, who Alan knows. We managed to drive up to Johannesburg. And he's my old buddy that I used to go to all the raves with. And I said to him, man, I could do with a rave and a bit of happiness. He's like, well, sister, we can always erase something. And I was like, bad enough. I could so do that, but I'm a responsible parent now. I better behave.
Yeah. Raving 50, a bit of happiness. Yeah.
We'll be raving and taking happy pills.
Listen, you can organize just one day, buddy. Just a happy day.
Yeah. Well, we're not encouraging that behavior.
No, we're not encouraging that.
We need to take balance. Mitch, you know, have you been to a rave, Mills? You have.
Yes.
We need to take Al.
Hello tomorrow.
Yes, I've never been to a rave. You've never been to a rave?
Yeah, I have.
Oh,
yeah,
I have. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I have. I've been to rave. It's not my thing, you know.
Yeah,
I enjoy them, but yeah, I think, yeah.
So I was just
really how big is your TV dance, Al? I'll show Mitch your moves.
Yeah, I used to do all the how big is your TV?
Oh, is that Big Fish, Little Fish cardboard box? Is that the one?
Yeah. This is red.
Then you do the vaccine. Vaccine is this one.
Shit,
this is not helpful for anyone who's actually listening.
Anybody's
to this
listening now, I'm checking out and going to a rave. And so I was just going to ask then. So there's a couple of questions I have. Like, first off, how over this long distance of time, I mean, there's insecurities come up for people, right? There is. If I was away from my missus, I'd be thinking, you know, it's
thank fuck she's locked down and she can't come anywhere.
Yeah, I don't want that woman going anywhere. Fucking hell.
I think you
4 weeks
God
without any action and she's looking at the dog strangely, you know. But it's like, how have you managed that? You know, how have you managed any of the insecurities that sometimes come up?
I think, you know, Mitch, Al and I, when we kind of first met, we'd both been in relationships before where we'd got messed around and hurt and stuff. And, you know, right in the beginning, we always said, look, you know, if there was something else or someone else or whatever, that we would be completely honest and, you know, sort of say, hey, I'm not feeling the love anymore. I need to kind of check out and move out. There's, you know, someone else that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always had that as a promise. And I think between us, for some reason, hey, Al, we've always just had this deep kind of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Mitch, you know, going through your program, you know, what it's also taught me is you've actually just got to, you know, and you're saying let it go. You've just got to trust in the process and trust Alan. And, you know, we talk every day, you know, be it on Zoom or FaceTime.
Right.
I think we've got a good, solid relationship in that we started off as friends and that'll always be there. You know, we chat every day and share everything. So, yeah, you know, it's been one of those. I think I've had a lot of nurturing on the feminine side because I've been surrounded by mom and gran and kids and stuff. So, you know, my cup is full on that side of things. And then I get to chat to Al every day. And, yeah, sure, you know, obviously we'd love to be together, but I think what the whole process has taught me is, you know, just live each day for what it is and grab each moment. Yes, you look to the future and we obviously trying to get back as soon as we can for Christmas, and we've had the ups and downs and the lows, and we've, you know, in the beginning I think we had World War III, hey Al, and you know, a bit of mudslinging and fighting and things like that, but we got through it. And we're now at the process where you just kind of go, well, it is what it is, and we can't change it right now.
Yeah.
So we just live each day and just try and support each other. And yeah, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully he's not casting his eye on any hotties out there. But well, you know, he's living with his sister.
He's been sending me some strange pictures. I'm like,
wondering what he's been up to.
I really like you and everything, but I'm not really a fucking welder, you know.
Mitch, you don't remember that video you sent me that I'm a good person, but it didn't say person, did it?
Oh, that's right.
You're a good person.
Yeah, no.
A person with a C.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, so hopefully he's keeping busy and not, you know, too stressed about not getting any action.
Yeah. I've noticed that his left arm is fucking huge at the moment. I'm like, Jesus.
Look
at the bicep on that left. The right arm is terrible.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so. Hopeless. So we've traveled together. So we've spent a lot of time together. And, you know, that
we have to tell the fucking great story.
Oh, let's tell the grape story. But that trip for me was a really good opportunity to get to meet you guys, and that's where I got to see Alan's skills at work in terms of what he does, in terms of his sculptures. And, you know, he would take like someone would have a bit of plasticine or something and like he would just mould it into these amazing detailed animals and have all these beautiful things. Like Lola loved it, like loved it. It was great to watch that happen. But tell the grape story quickly.
No. But he actually did. When we were away, he was talking to me about this concept of a leopard.
Yeah.
So I was saying,
although you've got that.
So I was like, how do you make this stuff? And he was telling me the whole process of what he goes through to create a bronze.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, I'm so intrigued by that. And then he showed me some photos of some of the work that he'd done for some quite wealthy individuals, either in the Middle East or or South Africa. And I was, of course, I'm such a wanker. I was like, I want one of them. I want one of them in my house. I want one of them. And so I said, I want that. I want that fucking leopard. Make me that leopard. And he did. And
cool.
It is very, very, very good. It was absolutely amazing. But so a quick side story. We're in. I think we were in Peru, weren't we?
Yeah, we were in the
In the Amazon.
That's right. And I'm with Al, and I'm lecturing everybody. Now listen, guys, you're not to eat anything. We're going to go to a market. You're not to eat anything. You can't eat anything here.
Yeah, people, off the side of the street.
25 kilometers up the road here, there's literally a mosquito that if it bites you, it gives you a form of fucking leprosy and you can't cure it. And all the waiters at this place have it. So do not eat. Do not touch anything. Do not. No problems. Of course, jungle lad here thinks, you know, I can fucking do anything. And so we get to this market and we're walking. I think I was looking for some bottles of ayahuasca at the time. I was walking around the market stalls going, I wonder if that brown liquid, I wonder if that's fucking ayahuasca. Oh, no. And then I was talking to her. I was. I was like, and then I was saying to her, Sharman, is that ayahuasca? He goes, don't worry, Mitch, I will find you some ayahuasca. Come with me, I'll show you. Anyway, and then next of all, I turn around. Here's fucking Al strolling through the market. Honestly, like.
With a bunch of
fucking grapes. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, I'm just fucking having some grapes. I'm like, Al, you can't eat anything here. You cannot understand. No, it's okay. I just washed it with some water, some bottled water. I'm like, Al, it doesn't matter that you wash it with some bottled water. I think about 3 hours, maybe 4 hours went past, and I could hear from his room. And this went on for
next door.
This went. I woke up at one stage at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking, is that a fucking gorilla, or is that actually Alan still sitting on the toilet? Oh my god!
There's always one muppet on every trip that goes, you know what? I can break the rules, and I'm not going to get sick.
Don't worry. I'm from South Africa.
You were the one on that trip, Al.
I have a stomach. So we've got to wrap it up.
Go on. Say that. What you're going to say?
No, just saying, I thought I was bulletproof. The bush boy from Africa was bulletproof. Yeah, he wasn't bulletproof.
Okay, with 30 seconds max, I want you guys to tell me, Michelle first and Alan, what is the biggest lesson you've had and you've learnt this year from being separate and being and having to deal with all this stuff? Biggest lesson for you? Go, Michelle. 30 seconds.
That you can't control everything in life. As much as you try to and you want to. So sometimes you just got to live in the moment, go with the flow and trust that the universe has your back and that it'll all work out in the end how it's meant to work out.
Really good.
For me, the biggest lesson has been patience and going with the flow.
Really good. What about you, Al?
Apart from don't eat grapes,
yes. I actually, funny enough, learned to be selfish. And it sounds crazy, but I've learned to absolutely love myself, care for myself, because if I'm not capable to look after myself and to be resilient and to be strong, I can't be there for anyone else. So the start of COVID, when I came out of this freak out I told you about, I became really self-focused, and I just started growing from there, and I became like a tree that grows. And now I can actually start to feed the animals around me with the leaves I'm producing or the fruit I'm producing. So that's basically my lesson for the separation, for this COVID thing. And I'm feeling I can give and take equally.
Do you know, Alan, I know this would be true for Michelle as well, but you have looked, because Michelle's actually got some of the family around her and you don't, you've looked around you and seen where Samantha is and where Josh is in your life currently, right? That the people that you are not close to, that they're actually there in some form, some shape or form all around you, right? The people you love, you can never be far away from. When you're in love, they're always there.
So true.
Yeah.
I must just add, my relationship with my daughter especially has improved so much since COVID. We really focus on, and we talk about real issues as well. It's not just because we're separated. We've just got this beautiful relationship that's slowly developed over the last 6 to 7 months, and it's just the most wonderful thing. So, and you know, we always take something from a tough situation, and I tell you what, there's so many good things that have come from it.
Beautiful.
And Michelle, Al, you've done an absolutely amazing job with those two kids. I had the honour of meeting the two of them. They're very, very lovely kids. Very, very lovely kids. And they're an absolute testament to great parents. You guys are great parents.
We love having you guys on today. Alan, if people are interested in checking out your work, what can they do? Where can they go to see what you do, what you create?
Wow, thank you very much. Yeah, great plug. I think social media is probably the best way to find me. Instagram is just at Alan Mayberg. So it's AlanMeyburgh. And the same for Facebook.
Perfect.
So I've got a visual arts page as well. So that'd be wonderful.
Thanks for joining us,
anybody
guys.
Anybody wants to engage? Great.
Thanks,
thank
Michelle.
You so much.
We love
you're
you.
Legend. We
thanks for getting
you.
Up early for us, Michelle.
Can't wait to hook
hopefully
you again
we
soon.
See you. Yeah, hopefully we see you in the flesh. We're trying to get back for December, but no flights are open yet. So,
yeah,
you just go with the flow, I go.
Sam at UL, great seeing you again,
love
buddy.
You guys.
Thank you.
God bless,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Take care, guys.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.